The ground on which we stand is holy ground. No, not just in this moment. Yes, we sang about God's presence and we've heard scriptures and we've listened to all the things that he said to us so far this morning in testimony. It just makes me aware again that we live in the presence of Almighty God. Isn't it amazing? Totally amazing. Here's what's going to happen. Mark's going to share something and then I'm going to say a few words.
Yeah, Chris just asked me to talk a bit about the journey I've been on over the last couple of years. And I'm actually going to go back a bit further than that. I heard a couple of words spoken about me back at NBY 2 or 3 years ago. One was from Tom, actually. He said he was talking about, he had a picture for me of me stood in my wellies, splashing around in the ocean, just, you know, having a bit of fun. And his word was, God wants you to take the wellies off, strip off, and jump head first in. You know, stop messing around, get stuck in. Try to, you know, okay, great, thanks. I'm but actually, I was a bit of a, that's quite a lot. I'm clearly falling a long way short. It was a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and I think at the same meeting, someone didn't know came and said something about you want to go into a dark place, but don't be afraid because there's a light with you, and that's Jesus. So I took those words and I didn't really know what they meant. It's kind of come to me a bit more in the last year or so. Sorry, I cry pretty much everything in movies, dog films especially. So anyway, that's the context. But so a year ago, I think about a year ago, my prayer was, God, give me some heart give me your heart. And but like it or not, he did. it was about that time, about 2 months later, Marnie and I got stuck in helping a couple of homeless guys. It was really powerful. It changed me. I had to step out and get stuck in, get my feet dirty. I remember actually talking to Tom again. I was trying to explain apply to these guys, and I couldn't. It was just, I was you know, worse than this. I could not get the words out. And I think it was about, that to me was showing, God showing me his heart for them and for me. So more recently, we had an experience a couple of weeks ago which shook me a little bit, but has really, really, really got my... has awakened me. I feel like I've had some, my eyes open, seeing things in a different light. And at that particular point, God shone his light powerfully, but gently, really gently. And I think at this point, I won't go into what that experience was, but it was clear to me, God loves me, and he's with me, and all the stuff we just talked about, he is here. He does love me, just abundantly. I can't even comprehend how much. Nothing changes that. Doesn't matter what I say, what I do, where I go, who I'm with. He loves me. So I think that's a penny that's dropped for me recently. And even though I've heard it thousands of times, he loves me. He loves each of you. Just overwhelming. So off the back of this, I've just resolved to go for it. I'm kind of fed up of sitting on the fence and getting splinters. I want to dive in. So to the extent that I've been praying for people in my office, open plan office. There was somebody I actually prayed via a kind of instant messenger thing on at work, and both of them, they didn't actually get the healing that we asked for, but they were overwhelmed by the love, which is great. But we had some great talks at the yard recently. But I think something's happening there too. All sorts of stuff. And the gospel's just come alive to me in the last few weeks. Flicking pages, going, I've read this, but wow, this is powerful stuff. So I guess the message I want to get across is, God loves me, he loves you, but it's about taking that step. So I want to encourage you all to do that. I think it was around who I was talking to you last night, and kind of the metaphor was, if someone tells you your house is on fire, you don't go, That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And sit and contemplate it. You run upstairs, you take action, get your kids out, get your family out, get out of the building. You know, this is a call to action. And actually, I was thinking also further, if I'm the one knocking on the door, say, your house is on fire, that's a bit lame. I'm going to be calling 999, I'm going to be kicking the door down, I'm going to be running in and doing it. It's about taking action. So how do we show the love? It's not by standing there and saying, your house is on fire. Have a nice day. it gets stuck in. So, paraphrase... Sorry, I'm taking 25 minutes, aren't I?
That's fine.
Paraphrase Robert Hawkins at the Lake New Wine. He says, you know, if you're waiting for God to send you, you missed it. He has sent you. Go. It gets stuck in, you know. Go ahead and do it. So I want to tell you that there is, you know, figuratively speaking, a house on fire near each of you.
Mm.
There's a house on fire near me. Okay. I'm resolved. I'm going to get stuck in and you know, I'm going to go and answer that call. And try to put the fire. I really want to encourage you guys to do it, because every step you take, it's powerful for you as well. You get so much out of it. So I'm going to go and try to put that fire out, even though I've taken my wellies off my shirt.
So I want to read Luke 4, a passage that we know exceptionally well, from verse 16. It says, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those free who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" You see, he'd grown up ordinarily amongst them. And they had to say, "My word, isn't this Joseph's son?" And he was saying to them, "This has been fulfilled today in your hearing." The other passage is from Matthew 11. And John the Baptist is in prison. And he's heard about Jesus. He sends some of his disciples to go and speak to Jesus. In verse 3 it says this, they come to him and say, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" This is how Jesus answers them. "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who's kept from stumbling over me." And then I wanted to read third passage, and this is really where it comes to a head. It's Paul writing to Timothy. He's already written several letters to Timothy, and this is the last one. We have it as 2 Timothy. "I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder." This is the message. 2 Timothy, the last chapter. "Christ himself is the judge, with the final say on everyone living and dead. He is about to break into the open with his rule. The kingdom is coming." We've been speaking about the kingdom for weeks. The kingdom is coming. "So proclaim the message with intensity." That's exactly what God has been doing with and through Mark, and that's what he's saying to us today. Proclaim the word with intensity. And that's why I use this translation, because sometimes speak the word in season and out, or be instant in season in proclaim. Proclaim the word with intensity. And I believe we've come to a place where we have become used to saying, "Be kind, do the stuff that Christians do," and it's brilliant. We want to, next year, this is advance warning, guys, as churches in Stortford, we're going to do Love Stortford the week before Carnival, and we're going to do stuff that just says to the whole community, We are Christians and we care about our community. That's brilliant. It's right. It's proper. We must be involved with social issues and justice issues. But what Paul is saying to Timothy is he's saying here, there is an urgency about proclamation, about speaking the good news, the gospel, about telling people that their house is burning and that they need to get out of it. And so this morning, I don't have a huge amount to say because I think God is saying it. We need to do what we are called and authorized to do. It actually boils down to being as simple as that. We need to do what we have been called and authorized to do, to proclaim good news. When we read Luke 4, the anointing of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? To preach the good news, to proclaim the good news to the poor. Now, who are the poor? Everybody. We duck and dive out of that because we say that, where are the poor? They're somewhere else. But it's not just those who are poor in terms of economics. It's those who are poor, generally poor. They are poor because they do not know the good news. They do not walk in the light. They do not know the love of God. My dad used to call wealthy people the poor rich because they're just poor in a different way. When it comes to the thing that what Jesus is anointed to do, he said, now that's your anointing. That's the stuff that you have to do. So take this as your message to get out there. What's interesting, and I'll come back maybe to this later on, but no, I won't come back to it. I'll just read it later on. It's the passage in Mark where we read so often Jesus commissioning his disciples in Matthew. This is the end of Mark's gospel, chapter 16. It says this. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That's your mandate. You are anointed. You have been given the gift of God's Spirit. His presence is with you. Now, get off your seat and go and tell people that the house is on fire. That there is good news. That they can be rescued and saved and healed and restored. And they can see, they can walk, they can live fully. I have just a few practical pointers. Let's be practical for a moment. What is the good news for you? How would you describe the good news for yourself? If I gave you just a sentence to describe what good news is, what is the gospel? Because gospel and good news mean the same thing. It's just the same word. What is the good news? What is the gospel to you? Kathy, what's the gospel to you? David, what's the gospel to you? If you had to describe to someone who's not a Christian the gospel in one sentence, what would it be? Or three sentences or a minute and a half? So, here's what I want to suggest. Here are five things that may help you in becoming more bold and having more courage to actually say what you think needs to be said. The first step in telling the good news is perhaps the most important. It's prayer. Are you praying about the people that you encounter? Are you praying for the people you encounter? Are you praying for opportunities to share God's good news? In other words, if you look at the scriptures, if you look at history, nothing happens without prayer. If you go to Romans, the whole of chapter 8 is predicated around those verses in the middle where it talks about Jesus making intercession for us and the Spirit of God interceding on our behalf. There is prayer going on constantly for you and I and for the whole of creation. And if we want to be effective in seeing the kingdom of God come and of light shining in people's lives, you need to pray for them. Pray for the guys at work. Then you can't be detached. Here's the second thing. You can't be detached. You have to be engaged in people's lives. I didn't know where to play this. I felt I should play this for you this morning. And I'm going to hold it here so that you can hear it. Suzanne's going to put the words up on the screen. But before we listen and look, let me tell you, this song that I'm going to play you only came out 7 or 8 weeks ago. It already has more than 11 million hits just on Spotify alone. It resonates with people. I'm playing you the second tier version, because the version that's on the album comes with a really jaunty song that's very catchy. The song is happy. The words are not. But the alternate version is just a piano and is quite haunting. But it expresses what so many people are struggling with. It's called The Dark Side. It's by Muse. And here, let me just say this to you. There are two of their other songs. Just as a bit of background, okay? Because this is the kind of society that we live in, without going into too much detail. I don't want to talk about Brexit this morning. One of their other songs is called Madness, 150 million hits. You don't want to know the lyrics. Uprising, 207 million hits. People are listening to this stuff, and they're saying, these are our anthems. Okay. Frustration, loneliness, trying to escape from anxiety, fear, paranoia, mental illness, worries over government, technology, human evolution. Those are just the words of some of the reviewers in the last 2 weeks. Okay, here is the song. It's called The Dark Side by Muse. Can you hear it? Okay. Okay, so then there's a musical interlude, then it goes again, break me out, set me free, let me flee, set me free. Save me from the dark side, set me free. People's houses are burning. They don't know how to express it. And here we are sitting with really good news. And so the first thing is to pray for people, but the second thing is to be in contact with people like this, whose lives are falling apart. And I sometimes look at my own life and I think of my own struggles and my weaknesses and my fears and my stuff, and I have God and a community in which I can live in healthy relationship and context, and I struggle. There are people at work, there are people in your family, there are people where you play your sport, there are people that you bump into at the school when you drop your kids off. There are people all over the place as we come into contact them, our neighbors, who are singing this song in one form or another. The house is burning and we need to break down the door. We need to put ourselves out there, so we need to pray for people and we need to be in contact with people who are like this. And then the third thing is that you need to know your story and God's story, obviously. That's what the good news is. But you need to know how you would express what Jatin did over a curry was he told his story. They don't need a theological debate. They don't need, and I say this with love and respect, they don't need apologetics or being beaten up with scriptures. They need to know that you found someone who rescued you. They need to know the way forward, and you can show them. And so Jatin tells his story over a curry, and it's turned someone's world upside down. Now, he's not there yet, maybe, but it's the process that God is active in that person's life, and you are part of that whole process, which is exciting. So the first thing, you have to pray. You have to be in contact with people who are like this, and that's everybody. You have to know your story in relation to God's story. And then here's the kicker. It's not probably going to work first time round, and you will have to persevere. You will have to keep going. You will have to be doing this faithfully, and it's for the rest of your life. That's the fourth point, perseverance. Pray, be in contact. What was the third one? Know your story. Persevere. And guess what the fifth point is? Pray. The whole thing is wrapped in prayer, because what we want them to know is what Mark has experienced over the last while is that God loves me. Unreservedly, he is compassionate to the nth degree. It's about love. So I want to invite you this morning to pick three people in your life and start praying for them. And start wondering and thinking about how would you speak truth to those people in language that they will understand? How will you tell your story to them about what God has done for you in language that is real? Because most of the people we meet are singing one or another version of this song. Can I have one more minute? I watched a movie this week. I'm not a great TV or movie person unless it's a rom-com. There's enough heartache in the world without watching more of it. And I watched a movie called Barefoot. I don't know if any of you have watched it. Probably not. It's not a particularly well-known movie. And without going into the whole plot and everything, there's this young woman who grows up in a home with a mother who is schizophrenic and paranoid. And she keeps her at home. She never goes out. She's not allowed out. And she grows there. That's the barefoot. She never wears shoes. She's never been out. And the whole world that she knows is the psychic world of her mother. And she believes she's killed her mother. She doesn't know about people just dying naturally. And it's just a mess. And she's in a psychiatric hospital. They think she's mad because of all sorts of things. But the thing that really gripped me about this, and she gets out and she's with this guy and he takes her on a road trip. It's I'm not going to go into the plot, but the thing that I found fascinating was that this young woman in her early 20s or something around about that age is now experiencing the things we take for granted for the first time with the eyes almost of a child. So going and eating in a restaurant or going shopping in a supermarket or going to a country fair or driving in a car or just being outside, everything is like so exciting and so wonderful. And I thought, my word, isn't that like my life? Wasn't I shut up in a psychic prison? I was trapped with all kind of lies being told me about the world by a twisted mother, the dark one. And then I was set free. And I can still remember to this moment the day that I got down next to my bed, knelt and said, Jesus, I want you to be the one. I want to follow you. I want you to come and live within me. And how it changed the way I looked, just at the back garden. And how everything I saw was with new eyes. And I just thought, how jaded have I become about this good news? How ordinary and just run-of-the-mill routine has it become for me that it's no longer good news? It's no longer exciting. I'm not learning and experiencing all these things in a fresh and new way. We have been called for a purpose. We have been anointed and authorized for a reason. And here it is. And I'll read it again for you. And then I'm done. Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim, preach the good news to all creation. There you go. The house is burning. Go and kick down the door. Let's stand. Father, we acknowledge your presence again as we prepare ourselves to go out into a burning and dark world. Our prayer is simply pour out your Spirit upon us in a fresh way. Anoint us again. Fill us to overflowing. Give us courage and discernment. Give us a heart of compassion. Help us to see with new eyes. And so we say, as Isaiah, here we are, Lord. Send us into all the byways and highways of this country and maybe even beyond, in your wonderful name, that we can proclaim the good news to all creation. Thank you, Lord.